The Brad Sesmatch Show, broadcasting live.
Off we go into a new week. We have Trey Wingo with us today. Trey, of course, was at ESPN. He is now doing a bunch of different things that we're excited to talk with him about on the show. Trey Wingo on the NFL Draft. He's doing things with Pro Football Network. He has got his own podcast. He's doing things with Golf Channel and much, much more. So Trey Wingo will be with us as one of our guests. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. That is Desert Financial Credit Union. Had a great weekend. Did something really random on Saturday. I went to the Coyotes game at 3 and the Suns game at 7. Many of you have said or sent notes about how you don't feel like it's really cool to go out yet to sporting events. And I'm not going to hammer you over the head, but I've gotten a couple of my friends over at Pfizer into my arm. And so I felt like going out, and I took my bride with me, and we went to the Coyotes game at 3. And I will just tell you that if you go to a game and you do not have one of these, you're going to have a miserable experience, because you have to get logged in and go through some paperwork while you're out front. And then you get into the game, and if you don't want to wear a mask, don't go. If you're one of those people that puts a mask on and brings it down over your nose just to say, look at me, I'm really defiant, I'm really cool, don't go, because the ushers are going to come up to you and try to embarrass you. And if you talk back to them, you're out of here. So we did the Coyotes game, and they did a terrific job around Leighton, putting her in the Ring of Honor there at the Coyotes. And then we left there and went over to the Suns. Went through the same deal. You had to open the app out front, had to answer the same questions, had to show the same deal. Went in. Suns were awful. I mean, awful. It was the worst game I've seen out of them this year. The Spurs had played the night before. The Suns lost, by 25. They were dreadful. They looked like the 2017 Suns. But it was cool. It was good. So that was my Saturday. That Saturday morning, I had to MC a golf tournament. Claudia's with us. Because Claudia had to be out on, well, not had to be, you wanted to be out on Saturday morning, right? It's good to see you. How was your weekend?
It was great. It involved some hiking. I feel like all I've done is hike for the last like week and a half. I think I've done like 6 hikes in like 9 days. So I could almost even use a little bit of a break, but it was really nice going out to Billy's Place Hike for Hope on Saturday, which you and I have talked a lot about. Obviously, we were involved with sharing the story of Billy's Place. I talked to Billy himself, he's a volleyball player, and just kind of what the hike means to him. So I'm actually using that, as you know, for my On the Rocks this Wednesday. I've got to say, like, the best part of the hike for me was the fact that I got to have a snow cone after. Like, if I could finish every hike with a snow cone, like, hiking would be the only thing I would do with my life. So having food trucks at the bottom of the trail was kind of like the ideal situation. So it'll be a little bit different for On the Rock, since there's a little bit more to the hike than just the trail. It was a nice trail, but it was also like an even better cause. So it was really fun.
So you were in Zion last week?
Yeah, I was in last week. I was in Sedona, Bryce Canyon, and Zion within 6 days.
Wow, that doesn't suck. So you were hiking.
No.
And all, but in some of it you didn't do stories on, which is fine. You just like to get out, hike. You had a picture, I should have put it up here, where you're like in a cave in water. Where was that?
So that's in Zion National Park. It's the Narrows, and it's a hike that, so I've been to Zion before, and last time I went was 3 years ago over Columbus Day weekend, and it was packed and it rained the whole time. It was still beautiful, but I couldn't hike Angel's Landing because they closed it, because they didn't want people to slip off of Angel's Landing. If you don't know anything about Angel's Landing, it's very narrow. You use a chain to make sure you don't fall off a huge cliff. And so it made sense that they closed that. And I couldn't hike the Narrows because there were flash flood warnings. So this time I got to do both. And the Narrows is awesome. It was 11 miles round trip through the water. I was totally beat afterwards, but
wait. So you had to go through water for 11 miles?
So you get some breaks. Like, there's some parts where the water's lower and you can go off to like the side and there's all rock. But you're through water for, well, actually, the hike to the trailhead is a mile the hike to the river. So there's 2 miles that are totally out of the water. But if my math is correct, that leaves 9 miles through the water.
So you're like a prune when you get out of there. Your body's all pruned up, right?
No, so I got a full bodysuit. Like, I look like a fly fisher. And I had, like, built-in socks that are waterproof and, like, waterproof boots. It was, like, overalls. Fun fact, they had to size me in a junior's suit. I, like, was too small for the adult ones.
That is a fun fact.
That's a must. If you ever go to Zion and you hike the Narrows, like, you will not make it probably more than a mile if you don't have the suit, because you're fighting against so much water. It's ice cold, and it's just not possible. And the stick was totally necessary, too.
You didn't take your dog on that one, though, right?
No, Mia didn't come to Utah with me.
Yeah, no little water vest and all that stuff.
She would have crushed it, though.
So you've been doing this now for 6 weeks. You've been with us for 6 weeks, all right? Yep. You're part of the team. I've not asked you, what is the deal with the gnome behind you? What is going on behind you with your little set, your bobbleheads? Yeah, what is the deal? Don't fall off your chair there. I see your credentials over your other. That's cool.
I have a bunch. So, you know, I interned with the Diamondbacks, so I've got a couple D-backs bobbleheads here. I also interned at NBC Washington for a little while, so I also have some Nats bobbleheads.
Yeah.
What else do I have over here?
Kind of just checking your set out. Like, what is it? She's got some good stuff there, you know?
All my sports books. I've got Moneyball, Out of My League, which is a really great book about minor league baseball. Highly recommend it.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. All right. what are you working on, like, this week? I know I've thrown a bunch of different things at you, or you've got some things you're curating on your own. But outside of the On the Rocks piece, which is every Wednesday on the site, what are some things that you're working on that you're really passionate about right now?
Right now, I'm really excited. Couple weeks from now, I think I'm going to give it some time, but Jocelyn Brisky, she's an awesome pitcher at Desert Vista. I'll be going out to her game tomorrow. I chatted with her this past Friday. She's going through a tough time in her life, but you wouldn't believe it because of her attitude, but her mom was diagnosed with breast cancer over COVID. Before talking with her on Friday, I had no idea. She actually moved out of the house for several months to better protect her mom. And I just couldn't imagine, you know, being in that position in high school during COVID and an already isolating period of your life to be separated from your family. But she's such a positive girl. I'm so impressed with, like, all the athletes I've met so far.
She's like the top
pitcher. Way too mature.
She's like one of the top pitchers in the country, right, for softball?
Yeah, and of course she can't get recruited yet because she's a sophomore, but she's been to all these camps, and it sounds like come September 1st, I think that's when she can start getting recruited. I'm sure she's just going to have offers coming in left and right.
Yeah. Well, cool. Cool. All right. Anything else catch your eye in the sports world? It's like NFL draft is a week from next weekend, like 13, 14 days away, and the Suns are in the middle of their season, the Coyotes. So it's kind of like, you know, is there anything that's caught your eye, or is it just kind of like, Brad, I've been happy hiking.
Always happy hiking. But I've got to say, you know, I'm a big baseball fan. I think that's pretty clear. Like, all of my bobbleheads are baseball related. So it's kind of nice being, like, actually in the season. I was at Diamondbacks opening day. Can't really say so far how well I think the Diamondbacks are going to do. There's a lot of potential, really good players, but they, like, absolutely need Ketel Marte, Eduardo Escobar, Tim LoCastro, who's currently out. Like, those guys need to be healthy and there for every game for the D-backs to have a chance to go into the postseason.
And you're okay. Look, I want you to understand, you're okay to come on here and say they're not good. Or they're really good. You know, you're okay to bust my chops. You're like, what are you talking about? They're going to win 78 games, Brad. They're 88. They're 98. You know, it's fine.
I think it's too soon to come up with that conclusion because, you see, the Nationals were really stacked when they won, but they went under everybody's radar just because they had a whole bunch of players that were, like, pretty good, but no all-stars, and I think those are the teams that are going to start to maybe make it further into the postseason. So the D-backs have the potential to be kind of like the Nationals in that sense, but I think tough division as always. Padres look really, really good.
Yeah, so but let me ask you something. You don't see Max Scherzer coming out the door. You don't see, I know Strasburg's on the DL. He's not come. The Diamondbacks, it's not like they can look down the dugout and say, okay, after Matt, like Zach Gallen, they're hoping he's pitching tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I think he's good. But man, when I saw Max Scherzer and some of the stuff he was throwing at the Diamondbacks over the weekend, it was, oh my goodness. My gosh. So
that's fair. It's very early though. I don't like to make any, there's way too many games in baseball to be what, like 2 weeks in and make any decisions.
All right. I'll let you go off that. Good seeing you. Stay safe. Stay at it. All right. Good work.
I'll see ya.
Get out. Just get out. Enough. I'm just kidding. See you. There's Claudia. It's so good to have her as part of the team. And she just busts. I mean, she gets after it when she does what she does with her On the Rock segment and everything else. She's just a pleasure and a great teammate. We are going to have Trey Wingo next, and very much looking forward to talking with Trey on a number of fronts. And then I'm going to get into the Suns and the Diamondbacks, some of the local stuff going on in the great state. Our TV show is on Bally Sports Arizona. We are in year 6 of the Brad Sussmat Football AZ show. Peter King is part of our guest lineup for this coming week's episode. Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, really around the Suns, Diamondbacks, and Coyotes. We're on before and after the games. We're back with more after this timeout. All right, as promised, I've been talking about Trey Wingo and his journey and how I really admire it when people say, you know, this is not really what I want to do. I'm going to go do a whole bunch of really cool things in this mediascape. We've been able to find him. He's with Pro Football Network. He's doing PGA Tour Live. He's launched a podcast, Half Forgotten History. He had Kurt Warner on it recently, among others. So I just wanted to have him on to chop it up a little bit. Yeah, we'll get into the draft. We'll get into golf. We'll get into everything. And first, you know, people may have missed because of pandemic. You left ESPN at the end of the year of 2020.
Yeah, I did. Left at the end of November. You know, 23 years. It was a great run. I enjoyed it very much. But at the end of the day, I wasn't doing the things that I wanted to do. So it just seemed to make the most sense. And we agreed to part ways. And that's sort of where we are. You're right. At a certain point, you need to look at yourself and say, what are you doing? Do you enjoy what you're doing? Mm-hmm. And if you're not enjoying what you're doing, how do you fix it? And so that's sort of where we landed. You know, I have a lot of very good friends of mine that were very successful in different fields. And the one thing that I always cherished about what they did was that their time was their own. And, you know, my time was never my own. And look, I want to be clear. I had a wonderful time at ESPN. It was, for most of the time, it was great. I loved it. I enjoyed what I was doing. But towards the end, it just felt like it was time for a change, for lack of a better term. And I wanted to do things on my schedule as opposed to somebody else's. And that's sort of where we are.
Ed Vern Lundquist on last week to play off what you're talking about. And we have Vern on from time to time. And he's great. And he was talking about the people that are in his circles aren't really sports people. You know, it's just people that are successful in other businesses. And so he was able to look at that, and he's obviously Uncle Vern doing what he's done for all those years. And it doesn't really sound like work to him. And the things that I mentioned for you off the top, did you know, Trey, it's like, okay, I'm going to go do this. I'm going to go do this. I'm going to go do this. Or did you just take a leap of faith and say, I've got a few things, and then things have just kind of fallen into place? How'd that work?
Yeah, it was a little bit of a leap of faith. It was very uncertain at the end of the year, but I got together with some friends of mine that I'd worked with at ESPN and gone on to do other things. And we talked about launching this podcast, having no idea, like literally no idea how it would go, because everybody has a podcast, right? We know that. And so that was sort of my running line, you know, when I was working at ESPN. Oh, just what we need, another podcast. But I get it now, you know, and it's been an unbelievable surprise. We recently crossed 2 million viewers on the YouTube page, and we're closing in on 2,500,000 within a week. It's been remarkable. And that, what I really enjoy about the podcast part of it, Brad, is the conversations like the one you and I are having. Like, whether it was doing radio or doing television, there was a time and you had to do this and you had to move on and you had to do this. I felt like I wasn't getting anywhere in talking to people that way. And in my heart of hearts, I'm a storyteller. I like to tell stories. I like to hear other people's stories being told. I guess I get that from my father, who was a writer and managing editor of People Magazine for a lot of years. Mm-hmm. So I enjoy that part of it the most. And what I love about the pod is I have these conversations with people that I either worked with or that I admired and watched play. And I get to have the conversations that would never fit into something else. You know, it wouldn't fit into another, you know, 7 minute break between commercials. And yeah. I enjoy that part of it. That's been the most fun of it for me.
Yeah. When you get Kurt Warner going and, you know, Kurt likes to talk, or if it's Trevor or, you know, Charles Barkley or whomever it is. And you're like, oh, you have 3 minutes. Like, what are you talking about? I have 3 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, when I walked away from local TV here in Arizona, Jerry Colangelo mentored me. And I hosted Jerry's show for years. And he said, you know that when you walk away, that you're not going to get invited to the nice parties because you're doing something that's really different. You're not going to be in these places. You're going to have people that will let you down that you thought were in your corner. Did you experience any of that, Trey, when you made this move?
You know, honestly, I haven't. It's been actually surprisingly the other way. There will always be things that I know that I won't be able to do anymore, but that's okay. Like, I mean, I did it. You know what I mean? I covered all four majors in golf. I covered Wimbledon. I covered the US Open tennis. I did the Olympics. You know, I've 27 Super Bowls and I plan on covering more as I continue to go forward. You know, NCAA Final Fours. I can't think of one thing that I didn't do that I wanted to do during my time at ESPN. And whatever else happens from now is just a bonus. I mean, the work with Pro Football Network is a lot of fun. It keeps me in the midst there. They're a great young company, and we do some shows on their digital platform. I'm a brand ambassador for them, and I'm helping them grow, which is great. And the PGA Tour stuff, I love golf. Like, the game doesn't love me by the way I score, but I love golf, and it's fun to be involved in it. What I found at the end was that I can talk about the things during the week when they're not happening, or I could actually do the events. And it's so much more fun to do the events. Like, one of my favorite things I ever did at ESPN, and I mean this sincerely, for 6 years, I helped host our digital coverage of the US Open Championship and the Open Championship in the UK. And it was on the digital side. We didn't have a ton of viewers, but it didn't matter to me. I was there. I was at St. Andrews in 2010. I was at St. Andrews in 2015. I was there at Muirfield in 2013 when Phil, out of nowhere, won that major. Like, those are the things that I had so much fun doing, being at the events, being at Wimbledon, being at the U.S. Open, at the National Tennis Center, you know, in New York. Those are the things that were the most fun, and that was way more enjoyable to me than anything else.
Well, I think you said something that really resonates, and it doesn't matter the number of viewers if you're really passionate about what you're doing. If you have some people that say, we got to hit a certain number of viewers, and then I'll just open an adult dating site and we'll do just fine. We'll get millions of views. It doesn't mean they're any good. So, you know, if you're in the art of storytelling and you see a story and you have 10 people, that'll lead to 100, that'll lead to 1,000, that'll lead to 1,000,000. You just stick with it. And that really does resonate with me. Trey Wingo with us for a few minutes. All right. So let's go through these platforms one by one.
Okay.
Pro Football Network. What are you doing? Yeah. Where can people find it? How did this come to be?
It was interesting. They were one of the first people that sort of reached out after, you know, my time was up at ESPN. And you can find them on their YouTube page, Pro Football Network. Also, at PFN365 is their Twitter handle. I basically do one show with them for a week on their digital platform. It's Wednesday nights, 9 o'clock, on their YouTube page. And right now, we're obviously heavy into the draft. And then we'll take a break. And then once the season starts in August, I'll do a weekly show recapping stuff with them over everything that goes on in the NFL, from the preseason, starting with the Hall of Fame, all the way through the Super Bowl. I'm also doing stuff with my good friend Mark Schlereth again, who I worked with for 15 years at ESPN. We do something called the Chop Shop on my YouTube page, Trey Wingo Presents, where you can also see the podcast Half Forgotten History. We go through everything that happens in the NFL almost on a weekly basis, and we will do it on a weekly basis once the season starts. Mark and I are also going to launch a Twitch channel together. Twitch reached out to us and said we want to get more into football and sports. We said we'd be happy to do that, so that's going to be launching pretty soon. We're excited about that. PGA Tour Live. I've done a couple events for them, and I look forward to having more of those things coming down in the near future. And it's just, it's just really nice. Like, it's just really, really fun. I can tell you this, Herm Edwards is going to come on the pod in a couple of weeks. So we're really excited about that. He was my road dog for all those years, and now he's doing great things at Arizona State. So it's just, the art of conversation sometimes I feel is lost in storytelling, Brad, and you know that as good as anybody. It's just nice to have those conversations. But more importantly, to your point, it's nice that people have responded. Like, this is what I wanted to do anyway. But the fact that people have responded the way they did makes me feel like, hey, they're looking for something like this.
Trey Wingo with us as we talk about Pro Football Network. Let me drill down a little bit further with the draft. Forget about the teams and the order. Is this a good draft from your view in terms of talent?
Well, I've sort of adopted a philosophy over the years. Have you ever seen the movie Charlie Wilson's War?
Yeah.
With Tom Hanks and Philip Seymour Hoffman. And Philip Seymour Hoffman plays this basically CIA guy who's sort of like, you know, behind the scenes doing all this stuff. And, you know, as Charlie Wilson, Tom Hanks would call him up and say, hey, great news, blah, 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 blah. And Philip Seymour Hoffman says, well, we'll see, you know, and that's sort of the Zen philosopher in me. I think it is. I mean, like, we always put it this way. We sort of mythologized the 1983 quarterback draft, right? Six quarterbacks were taken in the first round. Unbelievable. Well, three of them were Hall of Famers. One of them was good, and the other two were not good at all. So that's the way it is, right? And right now, I think with the quarterback's position especially, it is the most overdrafted position in the NFL because of the way the game is played and, more importantly, officiated right now. So you feel like you have to have that guy. You go back and look at the recent years, 2015, the first two picks of the draft were Jared Goff and Carson Wentz. They're not on the same team. That was 2016. 2015, it was Marcus Mariota and Jameis Winston. They're not on the same team that drafted him. Mitchell Trubisky was the first quarterback taken in 2017. He's not on the team that drafted him. Sam Darnold was drafted in 2018. He's not on the team that drafted him. So we get into this thing where every year the run-up to the draft is bigger. And I get it. It's fodder. It feeds the NFL machine. We all love it. We all crave content. But when you wipe it all away, nobody has a clue. We don't. It's the greatest unknown of all. And I think that's what makes it fun. It's the only true reality television show there is. And so I can't tell you going into this draft whether or not it's going to be a great talent draft. I can tell you in 3 years, but I can't tell you now because every year it feels like, Brad, oh, we got the next Elway. Oh, the next Patrick Mahomes. Did you see that guy? He looks like a more athletic Tom Brady. I mean, I think every year that's an award that's literally given out. The quarterback that is the more athletic version of Tom Brady. And this year it was Mac Jones out of Alabama, who, by the way, we had on the podcast. Yeah. So, I mean, like, I think it is, but as the Zen philosopher says, we'll see.
Yeah, but we have Josh Rosen here a few years ago.
Exactly.
We are golden. We are
exactly.
And he got let go and coach got fired. And I think we're coming into year three now of Kyler Murray saying, okay, is this really the direction that it's going to work out for you and Cliff? This team has not made the postseason in 5 years. So what do we have here, really?
That's interesting because before all the stuff came out that obviously Deshaun Watson is dealing with, they were very interested in that possibility. And remember, Kyler Murray was the number one pick just 2 years ago. Yep. It's so fluid right now, and it's so crazy. You know, Drew Brees, when he was drafted in the second round after by the Chargers, you know, his first 4 years were terrible. He was on and off the field. He got hurt. He couldn't really replace the starter, and then they drafted Phillip Rivers. And then he went on to have the Hall of Fame career. He's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. It's not even close. If Drew Brees was drafted today, he might not have gotten a second chance at a team because people are so impatient. So I'm trying to take the long view here with a lot of this stuff, but it feels like the long view is a lost art in the NFL right now.
Before I get you out of here, the Half Forgotten History podcast, and this dovetails back to Mac Jones, who you just had on. What do you make out of him? Because everybody's going through the first three, you know, the quarterbacks at the top. What do you make out of him?
Well, listen, he had an unbelievable year. What I like about Mac is that he went to Alabama knowing he would never play until his senior year. Mm-hmm. Like, they had Tua Tagovailoa and Jalen Hurts there. So he walked into a situation where he knew, I'm probably going to sit on my butt for 3 years and then maybe have one shot at this. And he was okay with that, and he bet on himself. And one of the things that came out in the pod, which was great, you know, when he was playing scout team quarterback and it was his job to get the first team defense ready, well, he would light him up. And, you know, the Alabama defense is a factory of first round draft picks. I mean, they just come out every year. There's four or five of them on the defensive side that go in the first round. And at one point, Nick Saban got really mad at him and said, hey, stop doing that. And he yelled back at Nick Saban, well, tell your defense to stop me. I admire guys that bet on themselves. Mm-hmm. And he bet on himself and obviously came through with a massive 1 year of playing and a starter and led them to an undefeated national championship. Does that translate? I don't know. There are some traits that I like about Mac, and there are other traits that I have question marks about. But again, remember, it was just a year ago, Joe Burrow went into his senior season as a sixth-round pick. He parlayed that into being the first overall pick in the draft, and before he got hurt, he was playing very well for Cincinnati. So these things do happen.
Last question. Who's helped you most through this? Because you can't just say that, oh, Brad, you know what? I knew I was going to walk, and my agent and I got together, and, yeah, and we did it, and all that. But at the end of the day, if you peel back the onion and we're open and raw to the audience, who's helped you most to get to this point?
Well, you know, it's funny you say that. And I'm going to say a name that no one knows.
Yeah, that's fine.
Her name is Nita Sreenkanth. She worked at ESPN for us for a while and then left to go do some other things. And she's one of the most brilliant people I've ever known. And she owns the digital space. She knows how to work it and make it work. Mm. And she was the one that told me, you know, if you do this, you'll do well, you'll be good at it. And I'm like, I don't know. What does that mean? What am I, a YouTube influencer? You know, 57 years old. How is that possible? She goes, no, trust me on this. And sure enough, she's been right the entire way. So I know that sounds weird, and it's not someone that you might know of, but she was a person that really said, you're going to be fine. And I was like, okay. And, you know, so far, like everything else in her life, she's been absolutely right. So I give Nita all the credit. Well, she works for Influencer and a bunch of other companies now, but she's just someone that's been a real steadying force for me.
Yeah, you have to push all the negative voices to the margins and have that one person or others that can say, you can do this. It's really been fun to catch up with you. And best of luck on all platforms. Thanks for the time, Trey.
Brad, thank you so much.
That's Trey Wingo, and we're back with more after this timeout. Thanks again to Trey Wingo. That was fun. I like doing deep dives like that. And what he said off the beginning, guys, that's why I'm here. Because if I hit... This is no disrespect to the people at Channel 3 who are great, or even over at KTAR or just radio in general, but there's no way that you can just sit and have a conversation with the way the industry is set up in this day and age. You cannot physically do it. I mean, you can, I suppose, for 3 minutes, but you're going to have a producer that's not going to want you to sit there, and they're going to be in your ear saying, why does anybody care about Trey Wingo's journey? Because people do care. Okay, so... That's why I'm doing this, and I love it. And I see more and more people that are doing some form of this, where it's, I'm going to go control my content because I believe in me. I'm going to bet on me. I'm going to bet that there's going to be people out there or partners out there, people out there that'll say, I will partner with Brad Susmat because I believe in what they're doing. I'm building this up to today. So today, if you go to the website, today's this very special day. Today is one of my favorite days of the year. You're thinking it's mid-April, what? So today is the release of the all-academic team for the winter sports season, winter high school sports season. I've been doing all-academic teams for 30-plus years. Go all the way back when I was on Mighty 690 in Southern California. And when you put somebody's GPA down, I don't care how many points they score. I don't care. I don't care how many views they get on a piece of video of them doing something amazing and awesome. What I care about are kids who have good GPAs. That's what this team is only about. So when I have coaches initially that didn't know it or didn't figure it out, didn't understand, it's like, well, why is my star quarterback not on your team? And your team's bogus, man. You have a third string quarterback from this school who never plays, and my guy didn't make it. And I'm like, okay, now they're done yelling at me. Let me explain. The first metric and the only metric is GPA. So let me get this straight, coach. You probably had a pissed off parent that called you because Daddy Baller's kid didn't make a team. Well, Daddy Baller might want to pay a little bit more attention to the academic side than, oh, look at my kid. You know, my kid's chasing his 30th offer. Fine. What's his GPA? I don't care how many offers. I don't. And so, you know, and it's boys and girls. And it's not just football. There's so much more to life than just football. You know, we did have wrestling. We have male and female wrestling. We have male-female basketball. Those teams are part of the winter all-academic team. And we do this year-round. And we have partners that say we love being part of the all-academic team because we want to give back to the community. And these kids can put it on their college applications of honors, awards, Sports 360 AZ all-academic team. And I run into them 10 years, 20 years later, and they will remember. So that's why today's a big day. I mean, the sports stuff's easy. Don't get me wrong. I mean, yeah, talking about the NFL draft, easy, low-hanging fruit. Looking at someone and where they're at in the community, that's hard. That's hard because you get people out there that just want, well, you're not getting as many clicks on this stuff. Yeah, then please move along. Please move along. You do not get what we do. Okay, it's fine. It's fine. The Suns play at Milwaukee tonight. So I went Saturday night, and man, the Suns were just putrid. They were so bad. And San Antonio had played the night before. So, and Pop is screaming at his players, just ripping on his players in the early going because the Suns were, you know, doing what they're supposed to do. And the Spurs, to their credit, woke up and the Suns went to sleep. It was the worst showing out of the Suns that I've seen probably this year. Was no contest in the third quarter. I don't know if it's because it was a getaway game before they went on the road, but they've got Giannis tonight. Tomorrow, it's Joel Embiid, who's playing at an MVP level, and it's DeAndre Ayton, who's gotten smack talk to him from Joel Embiid in the past. And then it's Boston on Thursday. These are not easy games. And so what was a team that looked really good, played really good, I'm not overreacting here, I'm just merely pointing out, you blow a game to a team like San Antonio, you lose tonight to Milwaukee, you lose tomorrow to Philly, those are toss-up games anyways. All of a sudden you have a three-game losing streak, and people like me are going to say, oh my gosh, what's going on with the Suns? I'm not going to overreact. It is NBA basketball in mid-April, which means they're going to make the playoffs. You can see the end. It's like, you know, 4 weeks until playoffs start. But, you know, it is interesting to see how poorly they played and why they would play so poorly. But that's tonight. Madison Bumgarner won a start yesterday, break up the Diamondbacks. Hometown 9 went out and took care of business yesterday, and Mad Bum pitched well. I'm not going to sit here and rip on him. He's been awful. As bad as the Suns were the other night, he was just as awful early in this season. But he has said, I'm going to get it figured out. I think I'm close. And yesterday he figured it out. So, you know, that's a good sign for them. They're playing right around what I expected, you know, below 500, at 500. That's probably where they're going to end up. But you get Zach Gallen back. They play at Cincinnati tomorrow. I'm not saying don't pay attention to the baseball team. But it's funny. I'm finding myself watching a lot more of the Padres and Dodgers games. And yeah, they play each other this weekend. I'm finding myself watching Padres and Dodgers games more than watching Diamondback games. Like, I'll watch the Diamondbacks, and it's okay. But, man, when you watch the Padres or the Dodgers, there's just some sizzle about those teams. And you know, I don't care who wins. I just want to be entertained. So the Diamondbacks play Cincinnati tomorrow. A couple other things. U of A, all of a sudden, for all the people that were banging on U of A, and I was one of them, I'm not even guilty as charged. They had every right to be ripped on. Sean Miller was a joke that he was still coaching. Kevin Sumlin, a train wreck that he was coaching. Okay? NCAA throwing down level one violations, and these U of A honks are like, oh my gosh, you're picking on us, and you know, it's just ESPN's fault, it's media's fault, it's everybody's fault. No, you cheated. Not that hard. And you've underachieved. So all of a sudden, they blow out Sean, thankfully, mercifully. And this isn't a personal attack on Sean. Here's what's going to happen to Sean Miller. Sean Miller will go be an NBA assistant coach, or he'll go do a studio show, or he'll go do a podcast. And he'll do that for a year and a half, 2 years. And he'll sit on the sidelines, and someone will come along, depending on how severe the violations are, and say, hey, man, you want to come here and turn us around? Pitt, where he went to college. Bring Sean Miller back. Oh, we got Sean back. And all that stuff. So that's how it works. It's a rehab tour for coaches. Coaches go through the rehab tour where they stay in front of people on television screens, jump on shows like this, Their agent sends out the tape. They've been away long enough. They bring them back. They recycle. It's probably where Sean's going to end up, although I think as an NBA assistant coach, he'd probably be really good. But now that they have Tommy Lloyd, and Tommy Lloyd, I was talking to a friend Saturday morning. A friend called me and said, what do you think about Dylan Anderson? Because I've been talking about Dylan. Dylan's over at Perry High School. He's 6'11", almost 7 feet. I've been watching Dylan Anderson play at high school gyms for the last 4 years, even back to junior high at Santan Junior High. I'm not one of those creepers, but I hear in my world, people will say, you have to go see this kid over at this junior high school. It's a little much. On occasion, I'll go do it. Back in the day when there was the buzz about Mike Bibby, went and saw him. Jared Bayless, went and saw him. Alex Barcelo, went and saw him. And now that Dylan Anderson, went and saw him at a junior high game. It's like, okay, yep, that's going to be somebody that we're going to be watching. So Dylan Anderson goes all the way to the finish line looking like he's going to go to Gonzaga. Why wouldn't he go to Gonzaga? Why wouldn't he? Tommy Lloyd was recruiting him there. Tommy Lloyd did a great job with Mark Few. You look at how Gonzaga uses their bigs. Their bigs are terrific. Their bigs are ready to go in the NBA. But Tommy Lloyd leaves Gonzaga and he comes to U of A, and the first player that he snags and flips from the Zags is Dylan Anderson right here in our own backyard at Perry High School, who's going to play in the NBA. Dylan's going to play in the NBA. So that story caught my eye this week, and it's a good get. You keep an in-state kid at home. And then Jed Fish over on the football side, you know, they're not going to win a ton of games, I don't believe, this year. But he is getting players that are of a better caliber than what we've seen in Tucson. He does have a staff that's a better caliber. I was talking with a coach at one of the power programs here in the state, high school programs, who every year turns out half dozen high-end Division I players. And this coach was raving about the job that that Jed Fish is doing at down in Tucson. And so, you know, when you see players that are going to stay at home that you want to go watch, that's what they're doing there. Their spring game is this Saturday. Rob Gronkowski is going to Tucson this Saturday, and Teddy Bruschi is going to Tucson this Saturday. They are going to be the two assistant coaches, or the head coaches, of the scrimmage. Okay, they're going to have some fun with it. Jordan Hamm's going from us. Jordan Spurgeon is going from us. I might go. I haven't decided yet. But it's important enough that we go to Tucson for this matchup. All this to say, when you see that Bobby Hurley has, I believe, two players off his entire roster that's returning, like everybody's leaving. Everybody's leaving Bobby. And all of a sudden you have this, well, you know, Tommy Lloyd, Gonzaga, is the NCAA going to give them a softer penalty because he's as clean as a whistle? Jed Fish, you know, he's getting some local players. You know, Arizona State, Herm 17-13. Great with the media. I like Herm. 17-13. 17 wins, 13 losses. Not a big improvement. Bobby Hurley loses his entire roster. Holland Woods, I'm gone. Jalen House, I'm gone. Tayshaun Cherry, I'm gone. Tayshaun went to Grand Canyon. That'll be fun next year when they play each other. So, you know, you look at what's going on in the state, and all of a sudden, is U of A made a couple of good hires? Or, as ASU people like to point out, boy, they're terrible. What a train wreck. It's funny with Arizona State people, especially the ones that have been in the Valley for many, 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 many years. U of A can't do anything right. The night of the national championship game for Adia Barnes and the women, and all I'm getting is, why are you giving them so much attention? They're not any good. They're this, they're that. Like, you guys, I don't understand how you can be so blind. Do not get that. And in sports, if you can't look at what's going on in Tucson, just in the basketball front in the last week, it's a home run hire. It's a home run hire. Well, he hasn't had much coaching experience. The guy's in waiting for Mark Few's gig. They already gave him the deal. So, makes for fun. All right, Jared Nielsen is our chairman of the board. This show repeats over and over and over. Go check out the all-academic team. It's on our website, sports360az.com. We appreciate our partners that step up and say, We see what you're doing. We want to be involved with you. I am self-funded. Without partners, we don't do this. And we're at 9 years now. 9 years. So we appreciate their support. Have a great day.